Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
a lot of like Miley Cyrus, the Jonas Brothers.
Hi, everybody. It's Patrick. As you may know from yesterday, my co-host Jim is away. Today, I'm very happy to have a student from the Boston area, Alessandra, and I'm probably going to mess this up. I don't know if I've ever said your last name, Alessandra. Tell me how to pronounce it.
It's Guarneri.
Guarneri. Okay. Alessandra Guarneri. And Alessandra, you're a student at Emerson College in Boston, right?
Yes. Sophomore.
And what are you studying?
I'm studying journalism, and I'm trying to focus in music.
So naturally, with something like that, Alessandra and I have, I should say I'm lucky enough to have crossed paths with her, and we're still working on a few things. She was in the first session of our music journalism program that I work on in the day job, and so it's been great to get to know her a little bit, work with her on her writing. And Alessandra, tell us all first a little bit about your background. Are you from the Boston area? Were you kind of born and raised there?
No. So I just go to school at Emerson, which is in like the heart of Boston, but I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay.
So this is like my second year in Boston studying at Emerson.
And how did you decide on Emerson? Was it because its reputation for being a really good journalism school?
Yeah. So actually, I really wanted either a city type of campus or somewhere that it was going to be hot. So I knew it was going to be, you know, either one of those. And so I decided to pick Emerson because it was in a city, which is what I really liked. But also, most importantly, it's the number one journalism school in the country. And that was most important to me. So I chose it for that reason. And I just love the school.
It's supposed to be a great place. And certainly, it's got to be a lot of fun going to school in a town like Boston, where there's so many colleges around, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. There's tons of colleges just 10, 15 minutes away, or sometimes even less.
I know. It just must be amazing. You walk down, you know, as you said, the heart of Boston, and Boston University, Boston College, Emerson, Northeastern, they're all within kind of like, you know, a stone's throw of each other. It's really amazing place. And that's not even before you go over the river into Cambridge. I heard there's a college over there too.
Harvard.
Yeah. That's all right, I guess. Alessandra, tell everybody your earliest musical memory. Can you recall a time like earlier in your life when you just knew that music was something you were going to respond to?
Yes, I definitely can. So when I was younger, I just remember listening to the radio and like hearing different music that my parents would play. And I wanted to play an instrument that I was hearing, but I couldn't really figure out what.
Uh-huh.
So I started off with the guitar when I was in first or second grade. I think it was like closer to second grade, actually. And so I was basically like 7 years old, and I took guitar lessons for about like a year and a half because I was just interested in the guitar at first, or so I thought. And then I kind of lost interest. So I dropped it. And then I picked up playing the drums when I was in fourth grade.
Okay.
And I stayed with that until currently. I'm still doing that.
Wow.
And then I picked the guitar back up about like 4 years ago and started playing that again and relearning. And then I started learning the bass about like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, maybe now. So I've kind of had my share of experience with a few different instruments. So that's been really fun. And then, of course, I got into the whole journalism thing because I love writing too. And I just really wanted to combine those two passions and find something I could enjoy.
Right. Well, I definitely think you're well on your way with the writing and the music part of it. Were your parents one of those like saintly kind of parents that allowed you to have a full drum set in your house?
Yes, they did. When I first started taking lessons, we were like, if this is what you want to do, like we're going to support it. So they bought a drum set, and it is still in my basement.
Wow.
It's not very soundproof, so I appreciate them taking that into consideration. But it's been a lot of fun, and I've like added to it over like the past, I don't even know how long now. maybe like decades. So it's kind of like built up since then and changed around, but the music is just as loud. So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've always messed around in bands, and we used to practice at my friend Andy's house, and we would like stop. And of course, you'd hear the TV blasting on like 50, just so his mom could actually hear it, right?
Tried.
Yeah, yeah. So, what kind of music did your parents listen to? Were they a big influence on you? Kind of your early listening habits?
Well, yeah, of course, because I think when you're younger, you don't really know how to listen to you know, other things when you're so young. So you kind of just listen to what your parents are listening to, like in the car, what they play in the house. So. My mom is really big on like 70s and 80s music. So I grew up like listening to like anything from like rock to disco or whatever she was just playing in the house. I remember hearing a lot of like Hall & Oates.
Okay.
so that was fun. Michael Jackson was a big one. They also really like Billy Joel, Elton John. So I remember listening to a lot of those.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Cars, like just like some classic stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good mix. Now, do you have brothers or sisters?
I have an older brother.
Older brother. Okay. Now, was he an influence on you at all as far as like when you started choosing your own music and kind of getting into your own kind of sounds?
Yeah, a little bit. He would play like when I was younger, like the top, you know, 100 or whatever, because he's 5 years older than me. So, of course, he was listening to like the rap, Eminem, all that type of stuff. And I, you know, would listen to it too because he would play it. And then that's how I found some of my favorite songs because he would show me his music and say like, oh, I really love the song. Listen to it. So then I would listen to it. And I actually used to really like Eminem too because he would always play it. So yeah, I think he was also an influence.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's always good to have an older sibling who can kind of steer you in the right direction. It sounds like you guys were just far enough apart. So maybe you weren't ever like in the same high school or school together, but he still was listening to stuff that was a little beyond probably what you would have normally found, right? Or your friends were listening to, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little bit more mature, but some of it was just like stuff on the radio that maybe I wouldn't have even heard. So
yeah,
cool.
Do you remember the first thing that you paid money for? The first, I don't know if it was the CD or what you bought, the first music?
I don't know if this is the first one, but I always remember this. I remember being like in the store and seeing a Jesse McCartney CD and my mom bought it for me. I know that you are something special to you. I'd be always faithful. And I was like obsessed with it and I killed it. Like I played it every day. It was crazy. So I think maybe that, because I was like 6 or 7.
Oh, wow. You were an early explorer. That's pretty interesting. So you were playing the drums. You had the guitar around and you were kind of playing music. What would you consider the first music you were like really, really into and really serious about beyond Jesse McCartney or when you got to be in middle school or something like that?
I think that I had like two pretty like defined phases of being obsessed with music. One started in middle school with One Direction. So that was definitely like the first time that I was like very into and invested into a band, other than obviously when I was younger, I was obsessed with like the Jonas Brothers, but it was like more of like an infatuation than the music, I would say.
Right.
But for One Direction, I really like enjoyed their music and I was like, a dedicated fan and very up to date with what they were doing. And then when I moved towards high school, starting in like 8th grade, I became even more invested in Fifth Harmony.
Okay.
And that was something that I think definitely took off. And from 8th grade on, I was very dedicated and I tried to see, I saw them on every tour, and obviously I was a lot more mature at that point, so I was able to connect with them because they were girls and we were all going through the same things, and we were, you know, closer in age. Give it to me, I'm worth it.
Like she loves some. Bring it back like she loves some. In the club with the lights off, but you act a shy fog. Come and show me that you're with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. Stop playing now, you know that I'm with it, with it, with it, with it, with it, with it. What you acting shy for?
Just give me you, just give me you, just give me you. That's all I wanna do. And if what they say is true, if it's true, I'ma give it to you. I may take a lot of stuff, guaranteed, I can back it up. I think I'ma call you bluff, hurry up.
So that was, I think, the strongest bond I ever had with like a band or like musical artist or group.
And do you still feel like you know, they're pretty important to you? And, you know, what, do you ever go back and still listen to the stuff they've done?
Yes, of course. I'm still a fan of all of their solo work. Camila in particular is definitely my favorite. So I'm very invested in all their careers still. And I still listen to their old music. They're really important to me currently. So I definitely think it was like a long lasting impact on my life. And I think they really inspired me even to do or to pursue the career that I am pursuing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wrote a really interesting piece recently about Camila, and I love the approach you took. And so for everybody listening, kind of the assignment was, let's talk about you know, how you get into sort of an artist. And Alessandra took a really interesting approach and actually wrote about not only did you kind of talk about her solo work, but you even went through and like gave some of her influences, which I thought was really, really, really a cool way to do it. And, you know, kind of talked about some of the songs she's sung and, you know, kind of the things she covered. And obviously you got One Direction in there too, which was pretty cool. So,
yeah,
that was a really interesting thing. And we'll share the link to some of your writing, that you've done so far for us. And I know, you're going to be working on a longer form piece, on Amy Winehouse, which I'm really looking forward to working with you on as well. So we'll have to keep everybody informed when that's done as well. So I want to ask you, Alessandra, well, actually, before I do that, talk a little bit about your photography, because you are a photographer as well, right?
Yes.
And when did you start doing that?
Just about like actually maybe like a year or year and a half ago, because through like one of my platforms that I work for called United by Pop, I am usually sent off to concerts to review them. And with that came photo passes. So I was able to take pictures, and that kind of interested me because I've always like loved taking pictures just like on my phone. And I used to like use my Polaroid a lot a few years ago, but I definitely wanted to, I had a camera that I got like a couple of years ago, I think. So I used that at first, and then I upgraded to a DSLR, and I've, you know, gone to countless concerts now to take pictures and review the shows. And I think it's really important to link photography with writing, because people really enjoy visuals, and it gives like a sense of like a better understanding of what's going on. So I think that if you can connect like words and pictures, it's more interesting for the readers and people that are interested. And even if it's just a photo, like people say, like a photo can say, you know, 1,000 words.
Yep.
So it's really like powerful to combine the two. And that's what I found out, I think, just through going to concerts and taking pictures of that stuff. So yeah, it's been cool.
Well, I think you're also an editor's dream, because I know at least when I was working full time as a freelance writer, they also had to hire a photographer too. So, you know, there'd actually be two people that they'd be paying, but you're like two in one. So that's even better.
Yeah, I really love doing both. So it's been cool to combine the two interest into one almost.
So you've written some interesting stuff for us. You've done a couple playlists, and you know, I feel like you've tackled most of the assignments and done a really, really good job. So I want to ask you this question about a band that I'm sort of, I don't know if I maybe am too old to really understand this band.
No.
Or for some reason, I don't really get it. But talk to me a little bit about the 1975. It seems like a lot of people that are kind of in your age group are really into this group right now. And
I really like the 1975.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that are very dedicated to their fan base, but also to their music. And they kind of have a very unique approach, I think, to the sounds that they're creating, because they play off of, you know, modernized aspects of music, but they also take from older music too.
Yeah.
So there's like multiple genres in one, I want to say. Like it sounds like there's pieces of different songs that they have that could be maybe sounding more like 80s or 90s, but then you hear the influences from music that you hear today, but they combine them pretty effortlessly.
Say something like a white shame. It's just a self-referential way. It stops you having to be human. I'm assuming you'll balloon when you remove the dirty spoon and start consuming like a human. That's what I'm assuming. I'm sure that you're not just another girl. Why can't we be friends when we are lovers? It always ends with us.
And their lead singer, the lyrics that he writes, he does a really great job connecting like concepts metaphorically. So when you listen to the song, you can take like what you want from it. Like some people may listen to it and think, oh, it's 100% about this, or this connects to my life because he said this and it has to mean this.
Right.
But someone else may listen to it and say, no, that's a metaphor. He's talking about this. I just think he has a really interesting mind. And I mean, obviously, he's talked a lot about how drugs have like influenced the way he like writes, which is interesting because I know a lot of rock stars, of course, do the same thing, but he's
right.
had a lot of problems with like drugs in the past. And he's even taken, I guess, a loss because he wants to create music that's so different. And it can have that different meaning. Mm-hmm. And he talks a lot about how sometimes when he was like high and he was writing and he got caught for, you know, being on heroin, for example, his bandmates were like, you have to stop. You can't do this anymore. And he was basically like, well, this is for the music. And if you want good music, then I have to do this. And it's crazy to think that he was on such a, you know, hard and heavy drug to create music that people love so much and maybe don't even realize that to create something like that, he had to basically risk his life. So
yeah,
it's very crazy to think about, but, I really love the music that they create, and it's really evolved over the past like 4 or 5 years. So I think many people enjoy it just because he's a really like caring and passionate person, and his mind is very, he's very intelligent, and his mind is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
The way he thinks and creates music is not like anything I could really compare it to. So I did elsewhere. So I think maybe that's why people are so invested in them.
Yeah, very well said. Well, Alexander, this has been great, and I want to ask you a couple more questions before we run out of time here today on Rockin' the Suburbs. As people are going to realize when it's just Patrick, he's just going to keep asking questions and keep going.
Okay.
So as long as you don't mind.
No, of course.
So tell me a little bit about how you consume music these days. Are you, you know, are you a vinyl person at all, or do you completely stream everything, or like, is it mainly through earbuds? Like, how do you, you know, what are some of the different ways you kind of listen to music?
I actually love to collect like vinyls, and I try to buy them when my favorite artists come out with new albums. But just because I think it's like a good collector's item, because even though I stream most of my music, it's kind of weird, because in the past you would have to like get a CD or like a record or something, and then you stream so much music that you don't have anything physical to like look at or remember. And yeah, it just kind of goes into the deep end of whatever, Spotify, Apple Music, and then you go back to it a few years later, and you kind of forget, oh, that was what I was listening to. Whereas with the CD, you would see it like laying around your room or in your closet or wherever you were keeping it. So I try to get them, and then sometimes I listen to them on record players, but mostly I listen to Spotify because I like to make playlists and just like jump around. And then the fact that you could have it on your laptop and your phone, and you don't have to carry anything with you, it's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to stick to.
That's really interesting. And, you know, I don't think you're alone in that. I think even some people of my generation now get the vinyl and maybe don't actually play it. You know, they have it as a, as a collection, which is kind of cool. Or like you said, I think it's the concept of having something to look at while you're listening to the music is really interesting. Now, when you listen to Spotify, do you listen to albums all the way through? This is a conversation I was having with Nicole at one point. Or do you mainly make playlists and kind of skip around in records and don't necessarily go from front all the way through?
I think that if it's an artist that I really like and I'm invested in, I'll listen to the whole album regardless of if I think it's good after like the first or second song.
Right.
Just because I want to give it a chance, and maybe it's going to get better, or I'm going to find other songs. But if it's more of a new artist and somebody I don't know, I kind of like play the first 20 or 30 seconds and of multiple tracks on the album and see what catches my attention off the bat, because I think everyone has a limited amount of time, and unfortunately I don't have all the time to listen to every single album I come across.
Right.
But I do tend to just listen to you know, certain singles and songs that I just get from either the Discover Weekly or the Release Radar, and I put that on like a monthly playlist, and I just listen to that a lot.
That's very interesting. Let me ask you this, Alexander, kind of in closing. Do you think the streaming world, Spotify, Apple Music, etc., has changed the way artists create albums now? Like, do you think there's as much thought put into what the order of the songs is? And, you know, obviously there's no side one and side two in streaming. I mean, how do you think that's impacted, you know, for, at least in your opinion, the way artists have put music together?
That's really interesting. I don't know if I've ever thought about that.
Okay.
I think that it's kind of sad because now people expect, like artists expect fans to kind of do what most of us do and not listen to the full album or just jump around.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of created a focus in two or three like very strong singles or like focuses on the album.
Yeah.
That they know are going to be successful and maybe hit the charts, and then everything else. I mean, this is not for all artists, but some artists, it just seems like they don't focus as much on the other songs, whereas like in the past maybe they did. And it's just, there's like the three or four really, really good songs on the album that everyone can't stop playing and talking about, and then the rest, it's still good, but it's just not as good. Or maybe it doesn't seem like they put in as much thought as they did with the songs they are trying to get to the radio or to the charts.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really well said. And I think it's so interesting how important like those first two or three songs that you release from your new album are. Because I don't know about you, but like if somebody I like's putting out a new record, I'm always going to get those singles. Or like you said, it's going to be on Release Radar or, you know, Discover Weekly, and you're going to hear them. But those are the ones like you kind of focus on. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if the first couple songs that haven't been that great, I might not even get to the full album. You know, I might not even, you know, like, oh, well, if those aren't good, the rest of it's probably not going to be good either.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah. And I know I said last one, but I swear I got one more question I want to ask you.
Okay, no problem.
How important or how much emphasis? I know you mentioned going to some live shows. How important do you find that is now, you know, in our current landscape, the connection or the experience of a live show where you can actually go and you know, see the group? There's merchandise there you can buy that probably is, you know, matters to them. And not only have you supported them by buying a ticket, but you can support them in other ways. So do you feel like that's increasingly an important part of what today's music experience is?
Personally, I think so, because that's my favorite part, is being okay. able to hear the album and then, you know, wait for the tour announcement and then buy the tickets and get excited to see them perform in person, just because they put so much work into this. And it's kind of unfortunate for the people that don't get the chance to see them live, because we tend to just sit there, listen to the album, and kind of go, you know, on our laptops and do other things. And
yeah,
we're not really looking at anything, and we can't see them, obviously. So being able to go and see them perform live in the stage production and the sets and how they, you know, work the stage and talk to the crowd and the fan to artist connection in person is, I think, the most important part, because that's what really they love to do, is what I found. Like, obviously they love making the music and being in the studio, but being on a stage and performing and seeing people sing the lyrics back and forth between the artist and the fans, and, you know, from both perspectives, is like a really cool feeling that I don't think anyone can get from sitting in the studio or sitting on their laptop listening to an album.
Yeah, that is really cool. And Alexander, what's the last show you went to, the last live show?
I actually just went to Billie Eilish on Friday.
Oh, wow. So you do go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
How many would you say you go to, like, in an average month?
It's difficult because it kind of varies, yeah. But maybe like 6.
Oh, okay. That's a very good amount. Yeah. that's probably about 5 more than I go to.
Yeah, 4 to 6, I would say, on an average month.
That's very cool. Well, Alexandra, we're going to share out the link to the work you've done on College Media Network. We hope there's more to come. We know that one of our big goals for this program is to help you get an internship this summer. So we're going to continue to work on that. We've got a couple targets in mind, and we will keep everybody posted, because I'm sure they're going to enjoy this interview. And hopefully, you know, there's a lot more to come. And College Media Network is just the first step in what I believe is going to be a long and successful career in the music industry. So thank you for kind of sharing your story a little bit. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I hope everyone enjoys it.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, thank you, Alexandra. And we will talk soon, okay?
Okay.
Tell me something, tell me something. You don't know nothing, just pretend you do. I need something, tell me something new. Choose your words, 'cause there's no antidote for this curse. Or what's it waiting? This hurt you just before you go. Oh, tell me something I don't already know.
I feel like there's a lot of people on TV